coming up on podcast 1138. Why are some used Teslas even more expensive than a brand new one? Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, two stories about companies being fined, and neither of them are particularly fine, if that makes any sense. NIO are readying their battery swap stations for Norway, and Renault are readying their all-electric Megane. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Friday, 9th of July. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. We'll start with the first of two fine stories today. A German regional authority is preparing to fine Tesla for illegal building activity on the site of Giga Berlin, the Environment Ministry for Brandenburg, that's the state that surrounds the factory in which it's located, has found that Tesla has constructed tanks on their land for which they had no authorization, writing a German newspaper. This reported by Reuters.com today. They say that the company has been banned from even using these tanks that they've already been building or have built. I wonder if they'll be asked to decommission them, actually take them down, or just apply for a retrospective license. This is turning into a soap opera as weeks go by, and I'm not sure it's a soap opera in a good way. You know, Tesla fans will want that factory open as quick as possible, increasing supply in Europe, and maybe easing prices. I mean, maybe they're very expensive to buy a Tesla here, certainly in the UK with import taxes, etc. And of course, opponents will want due process followed. It's very much a German thing as well, that nobody's, you know, above the law. You can't buy your way around certain rules and regulations. It'll all be done properly, everything rubber stamped. And so, and like I say, I mean, that's the best way to sum it up. It is turning into a soap opera each week. There is something much more than there ever was with anything they've built before. There's been stories around their gigafactory in Buffalo, New York, in terms of, you know, employing enough people to meet the criteria for the incentives they got, etc. But none of that, it sort of pales into insignificance with, like, how much this Giga Berlin has kind of gone round and round and round in terms of kind of legal protests, and it's not even permitted yet. It's far from over. The next is another soap opera, but I'm afraid it's not a very happy one, and this is to do with emissions. And it's not just, you know, obviously climate change is the top of our mind for so many, you know, parents or people who care about future generations, whether you're a parent or not, but also our health as well. And it's another story that we have to report on. The EU has fined Volkswagen and BMW €875 million, that's £750 million, after finding the two German automakers colluded with another rival, Mercedes-Benz owner Daimler, to delay. So what were they doing? They were colluding to delay emissions cleaning technology. They had the technology to clean up their cars. EU has fined them for colluding not to do that, because if you add these emissions increasing urea, it's called AdBlue, then it makes the cars less efficient, and so they don't want to do that. The European Commission said the car makers had breached an EU antitrust rule by colluding on technical development in the area of nitrogen oxide cleaning, reports TheGuardian.com today. They say that Volkswagen will pay €502 million, a reduction of more than half the original fine because it cooperated with the investigation. BMW, €372 million. Daimler escaped because they were the ones that went to the commission with the information and revealed the cartel. Guardian says that Daimler, BMW and Volkswagen, plus VW's Audi and Porsche brands, were exchanging information on the tank sizes of AdBlue, which can clean up the emissions, meaning they didn't have to worry about competing with each other on having cleaner engines. VW said they're considering an appeal, and they've also pointed out that actually they didn't implement some of the things which were talked about, so no harm, no foul. I don't know, they're on pretty dodgy ground arguing that they have any kind of, you know, moral high ground at the moment, especially VW, but a lot of the German automakers, none of them are smelling of roses at the moment. And they're on a major campaign to go electric and leave all this behind, but the bad news just keeps on coming. Next, we'll talk about Tesla and the Model Y and the ones that are made in China, but the standard range Model Y. And if you're thinking, but there isn't one, There is now, and it's going to be made with lithium iron phosphate batteries. Those are the ones used in the Standard Range Model 3. Chinese customers can now order the base model, Standard Range Model Y. Previously, hadn't been on the market, only long range and performance, with a starting price of €38,000 equivalent before government incentives. And that's key because it comes in under 300,000 yuan. It does get government incentives. After subsidies, the price drops to €36,000 equivalent, 10% higher than the basic Model 3. So what are you going to go for? Basic Model 3 with the Standard Range battery, lithium iron phosphate technology, or pay 10% more and get the Model Y? Again, considering that this should be the same Standard Range version which is in Hong Kong right now in right-hand drive form, WLTP range would be 455 kilometres, writes Pedro at pushevs.com. He says that CATL, the Chinese company, is now supplying lithium iron phosphate batteries to the two most popular Tesla models. That's a really good point on from his part as well. So yes, they are making now. If you want, if you're in China, I don't think I have too many Chinese listeners, but if you hadn't heard the news, there you go. Coming up on the podcast soon, we'll talk about electric motorcycles and NIO readying battery swap stations for Europe. Stick around, I'll tell you more soon. Okay, let's talk about in the US. Most EV battery cells and packs are produced domestically. Over the last 3 years, 70% of battery cells going into EVs have been produced domestically in the US, and that's a really high percentage. And that number is expected to increase significantly with large investments from big battery gigafactories like GM working with LG Chem, like Ford working with SK Innovation, building gigafactories on US soil. This is by Inside EVs. They say that in the case of the battery pack, things are different. As vehicle manufacturers right from the start tried to build their own packs or modules, we can see foreign packs only imported on imported cars. Over the last 3 years, the share of domestically produced battery packs was 87%. So the cells are at 70% made on US soil for cars sold in the US, and almost 90% for the packs actually being assembled. So again, something to be proud of there, because often we talk about how the US is falling behind in the gigafactory wars behind Europe and China, but, you know, yes, their production, you know, US production of cells is low, but the ones that are being made there are going in to domestically sold cars. Next, we'll talk about electric motorcycles, and Energica have announced a new electric motor. They are a motorcycle maker of electric power. The result is a claimed peak power on their motor. They've improved it, 168 brake horsepower and a weight reduction of 10 kilograms. And a range increase of 10%. That's a brilliant news. So EV motorcycles, of which I've never ridden one, I don't have my motorcycle license, and not even been up close to one apart from at shows and things when they've kind of been, you know, just on a stand, or, you know, I've seen someone with them, but not really have much experience with electric motorcycles personally. The motor is liquid cooled rather than oil cooled, which Energica says delivers more consistent performance. And according to Motorcycle News, the motorcycle publication, they will be putting this motor in all of their bikes from now on. Standard fitment on all car, on all bikes in production. That's great. A little bike news on this podcast. And that's good to know. And obviously, progress being made there. When I was at GridServe in Braintree a couple of weeks ago, there was an EV bike charging, I didn't even catch what make it was or anything like that. I just saw him unplug and drive past me on the way out, and I thought, that's cool, it's silent, but you know there's going to be so much power. Just brilliant. Right, next, used Tesla cars are more expensive than brand new ones. Well, specifically Model 3, because that's the one that's been looked at in this particular survey. A global shortage of microchips since last year forced automakers to cut back on new car production, causing prices of used cars to surge to a point where popular models like the Model 3 are more expensive than new ones. So why? Well, a lightly used Model 3, for example, in the US costs an average of $1,300, that's 3%, more than a brand new version sold directly on Tesla's website. You could either have a brand new car, or you could spend 3% more and get something that somebody else has used. Right. Avoiding the 7 to 11 week wait is the reason people do this, to pay extra on a second-hand Tesla, says Observer.com today. Isn't that incredible that people love these cars so much and they make up their mind, they're like, I want to have one. And you're like, okay, well, you can wait 7 to 11 weeks, or you can buy a used one. And they don't say the average mileage in this study. That'd be interesting to know, actually. But the average Model 3 that they looked at was going for $1,300 more than a brand new one. I mean, just sit on your hands for 7 weeks. unless you've got, you know, more money than what you know what to do with. That's amazing, really. But a couple of caveats. Only looked at the Model 3, didn't look at, you know, S or X or even Model Y. But I guess Model Ys aren't really coming into the second-hand market too much. But they will be soon, and then it'll be interesting to look at that as well. Next, we'll talk NIO. The expansion overseas from China to Europe has begun as superchargers and battery swap stations now on their way to Norway and arriving next month. According to NIO, the superchargers and their home chargers will be available to the Norwegian customers of NIO cars. They go on sale in September. Battery swap stations, there's four of them to begin with before the end of the year, writes Fred at electric.co. In a report from CNEV Post, the first superchargers and battery swap stations from NIO will have begun their journey overseas to Norway. While the superchargers and home charging units will be available from September, you've got to wait till the end of the year to start battery swapping. And it'll be interesting to know if European buyers do want to battery swap. NIO previously explaining the swap stations have been adapted to meet local regulations in Norway. And NIO has worked with the Scandinavian country to ensure the incoming battery swap stations are all, you know, certified and meet all the right requirements, etc., etc. So they're ready to go. Really interesting to watch that one and know if it's a Chinese thing, if it's an urban thing, if it's a cultural thing, or whether people will be happy to do battery swapping outside of China. Because, you know, Norway, if you're going to go anywhere, you want to start there because it's such a, you know, 90%, you know, 9 out of 10 cars have a plug socket on, so you want to go there. But that also means their infrastructure, and, you know, Jan at eMobility Norway could tell you more about this, he's been on the show before, but their infrastructure is also more advanced than other places. So if you don't need to queue up or worry about charging, do you need to battery swap? I don't know. Just a question. Looking forward to watching that one. Panasonic will be next, and we're talking about how Panasonic sold all of their shares in Tesla, completely got out of being an investor in Tesla sometime last year or beginning of this year. Panasonic's new CEO said today that their battery supply relationship with Tesla remains totally unaffected, and a strong relationship, he said, after they completely sold all of their shares. The sale hasn't hurt the relationship, says Yuki Kasumi at a press conference when asked whether the sale indicated that the partnership was perhaps weaker. According to Yahoo Finance, Kasumi took over in April and leads Panasonic as it begins to now profit finally from a decade-old relationship with Tesla that accounts for 40% of earnings at Panasonic's automotive business. Now, they established a test line in Japan to make the new 4680 cells that we heard about on Battery Day, and it could be that Panasonic end up making them before Tesla do themselves on scale and ramping up. We'll have to wait and see. I find that would be an interesting turn up for the books. Next, Renault in the news, and the Renault Megane e-Vision. Well, the concept was unveiled and a production car was promised this year, and now we know we're going to see the final production car at the Munich Motor Show. So IAA is at Munich this year. The all-electric hatchback crossover will be the star at Renault's stand. Starts on the 6th of September, says Motor1.com. They won't go deep into the details yet regarding the new Megane. All electric, of course. It'll be called the Megane E-Tech Electric. Now, the Megane starts to fill a hole which is certainly missing in Renault's electric lineup. They have the little baby Twingo. They have the little city car Renault Zoe. But Megane, really important to get that car into their lineup, and the segment that it will be the cars that it'll be competing with are just those family cars that sometimes aren't the most exciting cars in the world. They don't get all the press. But you know what? We need to get them electric as quick as possible, and people enjoying driving their family cars on electric. Renault promising it'll be capable of about 280 miles, that's 450 kilometres. There might be a couple of battery sizes, or maybe just one, and that's pretty good. You know, 280 miles is depends on efficiency and battery size, of course, but I imagine, and I don't know, at the moment the Renault Zoe batteries come from LG Chem in Poland. I would think that battery supply contract might have been extended, and so they'll be using the cells which are in the Zoe. Possibly? I'd love to know if you have a different opinion. I'd love to know your thoughts on Question of the Week as well with emobilitynorway.com. If you had to drive one electric car for the next 3 years, you were only allowed to drive one car. That was the rule. And it had to be electric. What would it B. Now, the VW4 ID4 GTX has gone on sale this week in the UK, so I'd be really tempted to go for that because it's a really, you know, money no object, Tesla Model S Plaid, right? But it's not on sale here till the end of 2022, and I haven't got the money. So if you had to buy one electric car today and you could only drive that for 3 years, I reckon that'd be a good compromise car. Again, would like a Model Y, can't buy it here. So that, for me, would do it. Would love a, you know, Mustang Mark E, 50 or 60 grand. So that's not my territory. Email me your thoughts, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, if you can ever leave a review on the podcast on Apple, that's always super, super good. And if you can ever support the show, that's even better. On Patreon at patreon.com/evnewsdaily. Our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley and the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Check them out. Also check out emobilitynorway.com. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.